I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You've chosen a podcast from Low Moon Outsiders. Enjoy.
Join me briefly for a three-paragraph devotional based on 1 Peter 1:6. I don't know whose accent I'm actually doing right there. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Roughed up inside by necessary trials, if indeed they are necessary. It's not that they happen and aren't necessary, but that they only happen if necessary. There are a variety of trials that come into just about anyone's life. One might argue that the difficulties of life are not actually trials unless the person is in faith. The difficulties happen, but they do not test the person or the faith if the faith is not there. And I guess that would mean that those are just troubles. However, the term trials can be used fairly generally to talk about anything that a person goes through, even prosperity, for example. Someone might argue that life is generically a testing ground. Regardless of which way you see the trials, we greatly rejoice that our ultimate salvation is safe for us all the while. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, and even we cannot imagine exactly how awesome the salvation prepared and protected for us is. That is our devotion. Okay. Whence last we broke, this is Low Moon Outsiders. And the story continues. I heard that somewhere before. Anyway, the party had elected to use the stopwatch. I'm pretty sure it was really a Stern's decision. But anyway, you used the watch to go back in time and erase the kobold horde slaughter, at least in reality, not necessarily from mind or experience. One factor to remember in that, and I think maybe Astrid is the only one who knows, is that you did have to force the watch back 1 minute in order to be able to do that, and then dialed it back 1 minute forward. As far as you can tell, that didn't cause any real problems, but in the back of your mind, you kind of wonder whether or not something might someday come of that. Okay. In any case, you then proceeded into basically diverted off your course from where you previously had gone. So there were two sacrifices that you had stopped, which you now have not stopped. And you traded that for the benefits of not having engaged in those combats, which included Lucas's horse was not dead. Lucas's sword was not destroyed. Chiron's sword was not badly damaged, which isn't his main sword anyway, but was the one he's been using. And Plume had not used a bunch of breath weapon and that kind of thing. So there was quite a bit of undoing that took place. And so, you know, all in all, it's kind of on the scorecard, one might think that it's a pretty good trade. You then diverted, went into the wood, discovered some tracks of what appeared to be unshod horses, which were peculiar. Because most times they're human horses, at least human society, they shoot their horses to protect their horses' hooves under the burden of weight and travel. And later found out that you were dealing with a group of centaurs. You met the centaurs, essentially enlisted their aid to help with the rescue of the wood spirit girl, woman, whatever she is. And looking at her, she is because she was kind of like a malnourished, but she had the proportions of an adult female, but she was malnourished and small. So you would say like, you know, adolescent maybe, but for them that might be quite a bit older than teenager, for example. Elves obviously age differently, that kind of thing. In any case, you had previously sort of rescued her, but now you have unrescued her. And now, in the last session, not only did you encounter the centaurs and enlist them to help, but on top of that, you delved deeper into the dark wood and met the what we'll call the old hag or crone, sort of a witch woman. There also was a batch of crows that sort of escorted you there and escorted you from there. The party was pressing into the area of the sacrifice after leaving the witch, but bearing in mind that some of the players that you want to be in contact with or want to interact with or want to stop from their evil deeds may not be in place. So by your best subtraction, basically, you would say you're running just about an hour ahead of where you first came here. So there is theoretically time to make a choice of what you want to try to do. You don't have centaurs with you. And actually, as you've left the dark wood, you're in the normal forest again, still. We're picking up, you're probably 300 yards as the crow flies, which is abundantly appropriate in the current scenario, but 300 yards from the location of the sacrifice. Okay? And you, by calculation, for those of you who have that skill, due east. You're due east of that location, so you're headed westward. Okay? So basically, the question is, when you hadn't technically made a decision, do you want to go straight to the sacrifice site, believing that it may not be fully established or what you would, want to interact with, or do you want to try to find Reiki, the paladin, previous to his arrival there. You probably hadn't been there yet, you don't know. Do you want to look for Serena in the wood? Do you want to look for the wood spirit? So what you are pretty sure is that the hobgoblins had the wood spirit in captivity prior to when you encountered Serena and the kobold massacre. So wherever they are, wherever she is, that's where you act on. They might be at the site of the sacrifice or they might not. So that's where you're at.
We had confirmed at the end of last session that there were no sacrifices at the sacrifice site.
That could be.
I feel like I remember that. Like we had gone up and seen that there was there were a number of hobgoblins there. I think more than was expected, but there were no sacrifices there.
Okay, I'm okay with that. So that's where we're actually picking up then. So based out of, like, you're not within detected range, so somebody probably snuck up to take a look. Okay? That session will be podcasted, but it's not podcasted yet because I'm about a week and a half behind, so on, like, everything. Like, my entire life is a week and a half behind. All right. But anyway, okay, so you're basically back from the hobgoblins in the woods. You have a reasonable amount of cover, very limited light. Currently, at this period of time, the moon is behind the clouds. It's high 50s outside, humid, moist. There was a lot of like transpiration on the grass, dew on the grass previously. And this is a living forest. There's not undergrowth, not a lot of brush and bushes and stuff like that, but there are some. Mostly near big trees that are replanting themselves, that kind of thing. Okay? So the question is, the proverbial question, what do you do?
Well, so we talked about last session that we wanted to, or at least it was brought up that we might want to go around the campsite and attempt to intercept the sacrifices before we got there, because that's what made me think of it now.
Okay.
The sacrifices weren't there.
All right. So, what do you do? It's the three of you plus Clum and Chiron. You have the war horses.
Was the dogman, the
kobold,
was the kobold massacre at the campsite?
Yes. The very ground upon which that battle took place is the exact place that the sacrifice was supposed to be. And in this part of the storyline, you have seen it. It is occupied and guarded. No kobolds in sight.
So, yeah. I say we circumnavigate the campsite here, attempt to intercept the sacrifices before they ever make it here, and possibly find Rikki in the process.
Okay. As a group, or with some form of smaller strike force, or what?
I mean, I don't see anybody splitting up. I guess you get the stealth, but we're going to have to engage them when we find the sacrifices.
I think it's more of a matter of if we go where the we have to figure out where exactly where the sacrifices are coming from. We're going to assume it's somewhere there.
Yeah.
And we know that Rikki and
Serena
are there.
Where are they?
They came through basically the same direction we did into the kobold's camp.
So we can try to intercept that as well.
Yeah, but delaying to do that potentially means we wouldn't be able to circle around far enough to get to the hostages before.
Unless we split up.
And there's the issue.
So, I'm fine with that, I think.
It's safe to assume that if we engage any large force or any lasting battle in this area, that we will draw many more hobgoblins into the fight.
Probably from here.
Which would actually give them an advantage on us. I almost want to say we'd be better off sending, for example, you to try to find them. And if we do find them, there's two or three covering them, take them down quickly and without noise. But if they're coming with a battalion, we really get no tactical advantage from engaging them separate from their group. In fact, as they merge with the group, it might cause some disorganization within them, and we could strike them. But striking them before they reach the camp, unless we meet them miles out, we draw the others, and suddenly we're exposing our flank. I don't see practical value in that.
Well, I would say again that probably it depends on numbers. If it's something where it's a small number and they can be dealt with and the captives rescued and quickly moved away, then it might work, but that means a fast-moving group who can hit hard. I think we know who that consists. But if there's more than can be dealt with quickly, then you're right. It's going to turn into a fight with consistent.
I think we'd be better off withdrawing than and not provoking that at all. We regroup, hopefully meet up with Rikki, and preferably strike before they fully integrate. And we need to get out quickly. I mean, it requires not even dispatching all of the...
If we get the hostages, I'm not worried about the hobgoblins that are here, quite honestly.
In theory, in an hour, they won't be here. Unless, of course, it was Rikki that killed them or chased them off.
I think he killed a fair number.
We saw their trampled bodies. We don't know how long the kobolds had been there.
Maybe
not long.
Maybe it broke their morale, but it's already on death's door by the time you had done so.
Long hit.
Something's been nagging at me this whole time. From what I can tell, looking at the current Kobold enforcements, nothing there could have caused that wound. We saw that beast, didn't we? The Kobolds bringing a beast somewhere in the woods.
We saw a beast traveling, but not with Kobolds.
Or not Kobolds, the goblins, Hobgoblins.
No, not with Hobgoblins. They were snake men.
More than likely the wound on Reiki was probably a champion or someone else with an axe or a sword or such.
Isn't it like jagged?
Before I answer that question, you did see this time when you looked at the camp, you did see several, actually three or four very large champions amongst the hobgoblins.
Was it like a jagged wound?
It was ripped through his armor. It tore through his armor and gouged his chest.
Or if there's a shaman or something, who knows what they can do.
That concerns me, obviously. Okay, how about this? I concede to your abilities, Astern, if I suggest that you, I, and Boom circle around and attempt to intercept the group. Do you think that I can move, preferably on horseback, around them quietly enough to not draw their attention?
Quietly?
That's my thing. Quiet. Just need to be quiet enough. Or at least non-discreet. I've never really tried.
That sounds tragic.
Yes. I'm out of my element.
Speaking around.
Long horseback. Surely through the woods. I've done.
Definitely
wood players. Well, at some point the woods clear out.
Not very fast off horseback.
Well, strikes you as if time is slipping away. The time advantage is slipping away. You've been staying here talking about it for at least 10 minutes.
I'd say if we're going to do it, quite honestly, I think all of you go. I can stay here and try and find Reiki and delay him or enlist him if the situation is such. And if you can make it back with word or the hostages, then great. I don't know whether he will necessarily attack them if the hostages are rescued or not. Depends on whether he feels they need to be removed regardless. The other factor is that we do have the centaurs about. And for all we know, that may have been what caused the hobgoblins to run the first time.
True. Maybe we're men of action with little time. So, your plan works for me. Let's do it.
Mr., can you bird call?
Bird call, it's just a question of questions.
What bird are you trying to call?
Well, anyone that's not native to here. My thinking was
he's trying to make a signal.
Yeah, giving a signal. I could just run out of the brush screaming and assume Reiki would do the same, but otherwise we have to meet back up. Whereas if we had a signal, tell the signal to Harry and then he could tell the signal to Reiki. Make the signal and collapse from two directions without ever having to meet up. But I don't have to see
the fact that the problem is we're...
If you don't mind an obvious signal, you could just shoot a flaming arrow up in the air. That would be enough signal.
I mean, as effective as a bird call would be to like bang a sword on your, on a shield or something like that. It'd be a clanging noise. I mean,
just a bird call would potentially not be out of the ordinary, but then again, it's dark. Not as many birds.
We need to give the signal half an hour from now. We can't remember that it's some strange bird noise. Well, an expert would.
Hopefully you would remember whatever the signal we agreed to is. But
all right. Well, how about... I'm fine with flaming arrow. That works.
As we are planning, we are running out of time.
Yeah. And they draw eyes.
So, go.
We'll do that. Flaming arrow. There's a logistical issue with the fire. Let's bang the swords on the shields. It'll be loud.
No way.
All right.
Sure.
Let's go. Quick signals.
Just go.
Can't sit there and flick. Okay.
As it is, I've got to try to find a paladin and a woman in the woods.
All right. Let's go. Okay. So, four of us.
Nothing to see here.
The four of us will...
That's why he's always telling his son to put all four on the floor.
Looking for the...
Because he knows.
The sacrifices.
The four of you are going to divert around and try to find the sacrifices, and he's going to stay here and try to catch the pellet. That's the plan?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Now I secretly alert the hobgoblins, get paid, and leave.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view. Okay. Counterclockwise or clockwise? As far as going around the sacrifice site. Who's leading?
I'll assume plan maker.
Okay, so Lucas is leading. Counterclockwise or clockwise?
Even.
So if it matters to you,
it probably matters.
Counterclockwise is in the direction of the sub-chief, of the sub-chief's sacrifice that you guys previously stopped. Clockwise is... would be in the direction of a sacrifice that you don't never have seen, you've never been there, and also in the direction of the village that is actually under siege.
So sacrifice is like in a line?
No, it's more like a circle.
A very odd village.
Circle, not an actual circle. But right. Kind of was like an oval, but kind of chunky.
Okay, so
it's wrong for people who don't have satellites and GPS.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so you're going to the right. Okay. So the two of you are leading now to the right, and Klum and Sturd are following. I assume you have your bow in hand.
I'm assuming you should be tracking something.
I mean, you could keep an eye out for tracks, but you don't really have tracks to follow at the moment. Other than the fact that you've noticed that there's been a lot of movement in the woods in general, mostly hobgoblin and whatever creatures they have stirred up or chased off. Okay? All right. The moments ebb on, closer to catching up to time, as it were. After just a few minutes, the two groups have separated. Okay? And so I presume Herrick is beginning to go. So in theory, you would be looking into the region kind of back and to your right if you're trying to locate either Reiki or Serena. You know that they, and the thing was, from the, as the story went previously, that Serena and Reiki had encountered one another, and she had convinced him to try to intercede on her husband's behalf. Something like that. So, you're expecting her and Reiki, not...
them together.
Yeah.
Well, unless not I yet. Encounter them after that.
Theoretically not. Yes, correct. Okay. All right.
And I'm going to assume with once he's committed, he's going to be moving quickly.
Yeah, with extremely limited light, basic forest sounds prohibit your kind of being aware of where each other exactly are after maybe just a few minutes of traveling in kind of in opposite directions. Okay, The larger group, the four of you, you know that the Hobgoblin encampment, or site, if you will, is out to your left. And you're at about 200 yards. So there are no details visible, but occasionally you can see like a large silhouetted form, probably a larger Hobgoblin, or maybe a few of them moving in a clump or that kind of thing over in that area, kind of through the trees. Your dim light would also theoretically be visible if they were paying attention, especially if they were looking closely, but that both of those things seem unlikely. So you're moving with relative impunity. If you move fast, you'd make a lot of noise, so you're not moving super fast. That leads to that point. Okay. You get around to where you are at about the 3 o'clock from the encampment. So does anyone in that foursome have direction sense?
No.
Okay, so Lucas, roll a d20.
8.
Okay, so you would say you are due north of the encampment. Also, interestingly enough, the breeze, generally speaking, is coming from the north. So it is coming from your right, which means it would carry, how far, you don't know, but it would carry your scent in the direction, straight in the direction of the sacrifice, the area of the sacrifice where the kobold conflict was. Okay? And I need all four of you then to roll a d20.
19.
5. Really weird. Okay. Okay, so all four of you are aware that there is activity. So basically where you're at, you're coming, you're due, you know, north, but it's the encampment's out there to the left, right? And ahead of you, you can see the tree line. Outside the tree line, you can see flat rolling plains, that which you've seen before. Everywhere in between the trees out here is like this. Beyond that, some distance, you'd say half mile, maybe more, there is another tree line. And it is a kind of a deep, dark recesses forest, not unlike the one that you're traveling through right now. But in the midst of it, you can see a pretty bright burning flame. Like somebody has a bonfire or a big fire going. So that is going to be, so you think geographically, right? So you have the encampment that you're circumventing. You guys are about maybe between a quarter and a half mile due north of that, or you know, it is out to your left. And then straight out to your right, or due north of you, is another tree line and another flame. That puts that flame at about 3/4 of a mile away. And it is visible, like it's lighting up that part of the woods, burning pretty brightly. Okay, you have not seen any obvious tracks, and you've not encountered any opposition at that point in time.
Is the town due west?
No, the town would be northeast. East, northeast from here. Is east northeast from here.
Okay. So we're officially breaching their
circle. Right. Yes. Now. Yes. So if you pass outside, you'll be outside the sacrifices. You also know, however, that the original reports were that they had basically done this same thing with settlements to the west. So that is to say, you're entering Hobgoblin territory. That's what you're talking about.
I thought we were heading east.
No, you're heading west, north and west. So it's here.
The town is that way.
Yeah, okay. The town is there, back to the right now. Okay. You crossed the whole area, essentially, but you stayed in the woods. You didn't go up where the town was. Because you were working your way around the circle to stop the sacrifices. If that's another sacrifice, then these two sacrifices are the furthest west sacrifices.
Okay.
So the question is, are you concerned about the fire or not? Your plan was to, and you can continue. You can continue to circumvent around that and look. And somewhere in this area should be those that are coming to bring the sacrifices.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. Because it's probably going to come from Hobgoblin territory. You think?
I mean, that's probably 60% likely. And more so now, because you came from the east and didn't see anything. So.
Alright, yeah, we keep going.
Okay, so you're picking your way through the woods. Out this far away, you can actually move pretty quickly without any danger of being heard. So you're, are you riding? Are you riding as well? Okay, so that means that those who are on foot are probably jogging, because you can move pretty quickly, because you're not anywhere. I mean, you're easily over a quarter mile away from the encampment now. And how do you say that? Upwind. So, all right. Then now curving back, kind of keep not trying to get further away from the encampment, because you're looking to try to cut off whoever's going there, right? Okay. And you're all traveling in a group, and the two of you are basically leading.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. They have really big noses. They are hunters, for sure. They are a little dull-witted. That's about what you know. Okay, so you ask out, do hobgoblins have a particularly keen sense of smell? So you would say yes, they do have a fairly keen sense of smell. And they tend to be like reactive. So they are dull-witted, but they're very bestial in nature. So like if they sense something, they'll like that could be prey or could be an enemy or could be food, they'll run toward it just to see what it is, that kind of thing.
So I'm going to ask Quinlan, as we keep moving, to keep a very keen eye in that direction. The rest of us are probably looking around, but I want someone to like stare and watch and make sure that there's not a cadre of hobgoblins sprinting at us full force because they smell meat.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take that risk.
Okay. All right. So again, now you're working your way, you're kind of not trying to get further away, sort of like circling around to that side. What you see is there's a chunk out of the forest. So as you're coming around, you see that there's a place where the grasses or whatever, you don't see the ground, or you see the trees, kind of come in. And so you have to, if you want to stay in the forest as you're moving, you're going to have to do this kind of number, turn left and kind of skirt it, which will put you closer to the encampment, but no longer directly downwind. It will no longer be directly downwind from you, I should say. And so not thinking anything of it, I mean, this was a possibility. You just continue to do that. At which point you see, you're probably at 40 yards from the tree line and the knockout is right there. And you look out there and see that area is sort of broken. The ground has a crevice in it. And so the rolling kind of planes come up and they kind of roll and tuck under the next part. And you can see like dull brown and deep shadow along the edge of it. So you can't see into it. There is an area that's pretty big, probably 30, 40 feet across this way and like 150 feet long this way that forms as that hill kind of tucks into the next one. And there's just a crevice there. Okay. And then no sign of trouble, at least not initially. However, you notice that as you're moving past, you see where the ground is on the same level as the crevice. And right there in the woods, to your right, you can see a lot of little bones, like critters, but nothing of the critter nature left, like every kind of animal consumed and maybe even something that wasn't an animal, but nothing as big as a person. Probably like, might even be a kobold or more than one kobold or goblin bones or things like that. And you'd say it's in the neighborhood of thousands of bones.
Thousands? Jeez.
Yeah.
So a pack of kobolds.
Yeah, so you would guess, based on this and what you know already of the pack that the party fought, that you are very near their home or their stomping grounds.
Very near the nest of kobolds.
Do I know, can I track, kind of figure out direction they are?
If like you went, yeah, if you turned into that area and looked around, you could tell probably pretty keenly where are they coming from, more of what's actually going on, that kind of thing, if you choose to. But there also could be kobolds over there.
Try to get the better avoid it.
Yeah, so you're not having any conflict at the moment. So you could just continue your course, but now you know where they are. And you realize this from the site of the sacrifice, this is only a little less than a quarter mile away. So if there was the sounds of a major tussle going on over there, you realize it could stir them up. And they don't, when they come out, they just keep coming. That's how they are. Well, it wasn't that many, but it was definitely a lot. That's the joke of kobolds. They always look like less, and then they just keep coming because they're all over the place. Okay? So what are we doing with the kobold den, if that's what that is? Leaving it for the moment?
Yeah, leaving it.
Okay. All right. So now you're from the position of the site, you're coming up around like 1 o'clock. Thinking of it that way, you started at 6, you're coming around. The kobolds are at like 2, coming up around 1. Okay. At which point you see moving in the woods dead ahead of you at about maybe 150, 200 yards. Something that looks like a troop. And it's probably kobolds. They're kind of humpy looking and they've got pointy parts like spears and stuff like that sticking off. All you're seeing is silhouettes, right? By number at that yard, you would think it's probably maybe a half dozen. It's not a big number. But
it's like 80.
That's kobolds, not hobgoblins.
You say kobolds.
Did I? So I apologize. Hobgoblins. They're hobgoblins. Okay. Yes. Oh. Did I say kobolds? I apologize. Yes. Hobgoblins. Yeah. Quite a big difference. If they were kobolds, you wouldn't be seeing them at 150 yeah. yards.
They appear to be kobolds. Oh, they're accurate.
How we see them? Tall.
Yes. I'm glad that you said something.
Okay.
So, this is, they appear to be headed in the direction of the sacrifice site. So from what you have seen thus far, this is your best likelihood of it, them bringing the sacrifice. Okay. So is your plan to attack them, intercept them, ambush them? What?
Intercept.
Okay.
Okay, so
150 yards. So right now all you're seeing is silhouettes. Roughly half dozen. Can't really make out for sure. Definitely have like long spears and stuff like that because there's some, you can see like pointy lines. And they are headed toward the sacrifice site.
Okay, so if they're 150 yards from us, they're 350 yards from the camp.
More than that. Yeah. So it's here, you're here, and your distance is probably quarter mile still, and they're further than that. So it's probably, they're about 500 yards away from the camp. So if you fought out there, if you move quickly and keep it, not a long drawn out clang clang fight, there's a chance you might pull it off. The further they come, because you're gonna have, so you can close the distance with them, but if you don't break into a charge like now, essentially, then they'll come 50 to 100 yards closer by the time you would fight them, because they are walking steadily through the woods.
So the question is, what do we value more, the distance or the surprise?
I would say distance.
We just got away from a bunch of kobolds.
Okay. No sign of any activity coming from the camp at the moment. Okay. Do roll a d20, however.
Okay, I'll mount up.
18.
You and I are rolling great. Need those in combat. I rolled a 20.
So we are going after them right now.
Okay, so you're moving brusquely in the direction.
Mount up.
Chiron is mounting up. Long swords are drawn. Bow is arrow notched. How is Klum equipping herself for this conflict? Go bow, or do you want to go melee, or what? Go turn into a dragon and annihilate them. I don't know. What?
That
seems like overkill.
How many arrows does this already have?
I have 7. Probably. I don't know. Do arrows come back after you go back at times?
Yes.
Well, then I still
I gave you a bunch of them, and then you used some, I used some, and then we went back in time, and then you don't have any, and I have all of them.
Well, I had 11 to start.
Okay.
And then I started using yours anyways, so I'll equip my bow.
Okay.
I can give you a few.
All right, so Sturt and Klum are running through the woods, jumping roots and slipping past trees and whatever, while Chiron and Lucas are riding to intercept. Right?
How many do you want?
Are you going to attempt to try to time your attack to wait for them to get into position? Because you will definitely get there before them on horseback. Or are you going to just go ahead and go and let them get in position when they get there?
I'm just going. Now we're going.
Okay. The knights are going.
Knights.
Swords upraised. Lance is strangely
Lucas
absent.
Is mainly only going because he knows Chiron's not going to stop.
Okay, so it's two.
It's Chiron's fault.
It will take you 2 rounds to engage. During the first round, they will be completely unaware of your approach, for sure. But you will need a ride check as you are riding through the forest.
My sleep bug. 61. 94. Nice.
That's exact.
Or no.
No, it says 92. Yeah, you
don't
have to be
okay. Okay, so what happens is the two of you are moving forward quite quickly, and you go to the right side of a tree, you go to the left side of a tree. Well, when you go around the tree, you and the horse crash through a half dozen to 10 thin saplings that are there. It is not quiet, and you're sure that the horse got scratched up, took some damage from it. And you need a ride check to maintain yourself in the saddle.
12.
Okay, no problem. So you are still in the saddle, but you are a good few initiative counts behind Lucas. He will definitely be leading the charge unless he holds up. Okay. Now with that in mind, and also in the second round, you're now in front of them, charging straight at them. There is a decent chance they will be aware of your coming. Okay, so at least a couple of them spot the large armored horseman, single, charging toward them. They begin to react militarily. Okay. You can tell, too, now as you're probably at, like, 80 yards. It's broken terrain. It's not a trail, right? But it's 80 yards. And you can see that there are indeed 8 of them. They have a variety of weapons. 4 are walking in a clump toward the middle, and 4 are kind of like extended out at like in a cross, basically. So one back to the right, one back to the left, one ahead to the right, one ahead to the left. It's a couple of the ones that are in the middle that noticed, and they begin to yell at their companions. To that end, the 2 bowmen will fire at the end of this round. Okay. Also, you will reach and can attack before that time. Okay, so you will be engaged in melee before they can shoot.
You really just want to make sure they don't have time to set their spears.
Yeah, that would suck. So it will be based on the surprise roll for the guys in front. One guy in front has a spear, one guy in back has a spear. Okay. As far as Chiron goes, I need to make an initiative roll.
4.
Okay. So you also will reach and can attack before the end of the round, which means before bow fire. Okay. They will fire at the end of the round, and then they will fire again in missile fire. So, assuming they are shooting at you guys. Okay. So basically, the two of you ride forward. I need another ride check for this round as you're riding your forest dark horses.
18.
No problem. All right. So you do dodge through a couple of trees. Lucas's sword scrapes a huge hunk of bark off a tree that you get fairly near. And out of the corner of your eye, you see it kind of fall down. Not off, but flat down. The horses snort steam and chomp at the bit.
We're breaking in this kind of way.
You think?
The only other option other than the sword is the axe. I don't know how to use an axe. So.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you know how to use it.
Oh, yeah. Just not
use it well is different.
I'll learn next, though. Swing it and hit it to the guys.
Okay. Perhaps you'd like to write for Low Moon Adventures. The Prince Albert series on Kindle is a short story series where you can write your own based on our prompts and donate them or donate half their profit to the ministry. Okay. So as you charge up, there are two opponents in the front area, right? Neither of them are surprised. The guy on the left is trying to set his spear. So you don't technically have to interact with him because you could just charge the right side line. The guy on the right side line does have a hand and a half axe and does look like a champion. He's big, bigger than the average.
But I have my sword out because I don't actually have a spear.
Right.
Wait, do I? I thought my spear exploded.
Well, that was in the chieftain fight, so I think we both have spears still, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. Assuming you wanted to use them.
No.
I'm not using my spear.
That's so sick.
Okay.
I just have a hobgoblin spear, but I'm not using it right now.
Okay. So you charge. Lucas charges into the right side of the line. You may roll initiative. Arden, just roll initiative. This is just basically to determine who's going to strike first, the guy that you're riding up to or you.
Something tells me he did. I got it.
Okay. So, yes, he is going to attempt to swing his hand and a half axe at you as you are coming in. He does not get a counter charge bonus. He did not charge. He just stood his ground. Okay. Shield parry, I assume.
Correct.
And how much is your shield parry?
4.
Okay, you successfully shield parried. It whips, slices through the air. It is obviously a heavy beast of a weapon, but it rings off your shield and slides down.
You about to get it now, boy. It's go time.
Okay, you may roll the hit, sir.
16.
That's definitely a hit.
Hobgoblin. Giants? What? Mr. Dead. Yeah. Isn't one of them giant class? Hobgoblins are dead class.
Yes.
But they're not considered large for the purposes of
correct. Correct.
Large. Largest size is giant class of the biggest. Okay. 17 points. Do I double that? From target?
Yes.
34.
Okay. He spins away from the blow and slams to the forest floor. Okay. Your horse is now occupying the place where he was previously. You basically rode through his spot, which puts you into reach of the center. As you reach the center, you realize that the four individuals in the middle are carrying something in a bag. And they're holding the corners of the bag, and it's not very big. It's whatever it is, it's probably about like that big.
Huh. Probably not. Well, I mean, it could be a little girl.
It could be if she's in a fetal position. Okay? Not fatal. Okay? Are you 2-for-1 on horseback?
I am.
So you will get another attack at the end of the round. All right? And then Chiron charges in now.
Yes.
He took the right side. If you take the left side, you will be riding into the set spear. It still has to hit, right? It's still a roll to hit. You do have a very good AC.
I will ride into the spearman and try to keep him on my shield side, I suppose.
Of course. Right? Yep, makes sense.
Even if he wasn't on your shield side, they're not on your shield side when you're jousting, so... Get the shield out.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
The spear rings off of the shield very harshly. And it does remain intact. But you're ridden up to within sword striking distance of him, and you may swing.
I've got the weapon. That's pretty impressive.
Don't expect that.
Might take it off
the
person.
It's true.
Seven. So it's a guy's weapon. Three.
That's a hit. And you'll do double damage from the charge.
30.
Okay. So he also spins away from the blow.
I'm sorry, it's 20, but same
attack. Okay. He also spins away from the blow and goes to the ground.
I don't think you're close
to okay. So for Klum and Asturd, right? So as you've been running up, they didn't wait for you to get into position. So you're probably in the 60 to 80 yard mark, which is still short range. You can fire at short range, but it won't be point blank. And there are some trees and like that, so they could get a little bit of cover. And of course, you don't want to fire close to where these two are at, or you could possibly hit them. So what do you want to do?
Point blank,
so
less chance of hitting.
Okay.
What's point blank?
So you don't do point blank anyway. So the best you're going to get is short range. But the good thing about getting a little closer would be to get rid of those trees that are in the way.
Yeah.
Because the problem with cover is like you can hit and then say 30%. Well, so you still miss 30% of the time, for example. So. You also could kind of like skirt out to the right because that's the angle you're coming from, which then means that you'd be able to see the side of the pack and fire with not having to cross where these two are at.
I will do that.
All right, so you guys turn right and start looking for a clear shot. So you will fire when the hobgoblin archers fire, you will also be in position. So we're going to have like a missile fire round at the end of this actual round. Okay. In the meantime, the other hobgoblins are attacking Chiron and Lucas. So on Lucas, an axe misses, brings off your armor. On Chiron, short sword badly misses completely, doesn't even ring off your armor. Okay. Then that brings around your guys' second attacks. Chiron and Lucas' second attacks. Now you're attacking the four in the middle unless you intentionally ride around to try to get the back two.
I'm going for the other spearman.
Okay, so you're riding around to get the other spearman, right? And he is on the left also. Roll horsemanship if you would.
Okay. You don't really want them to drop this thing.
They're fighting, so the two on your side are attacking you, so it looks like they've already set the bag down.
I'm
sorry, hit AC what?
8 on my ride check.
Ride check, yeah,
negative 4 AC.
Okay, so you rode up on the other spearman. This is not a charge.
13 points.
Is this on one of the middle guys then, Arden?
Yes.
Okay, 13 points is enough, and he goes down.
Nice. This blessing we got having a fetch?
It seems like it.
Solinar.
97.
15. You feel blessed.
I hit AC0.
Nice.
Okay, that is a hit.
11 points.
Okay, and he goes down as well.
That's minimum damage.
Okay. All right, so that leaves two guys left in the middle and one guy on the back right. None of them are surprised. They are all wielding weapons. The guy in the back right now moves to attack Lucas. He's the only one who has not gone. And he'll miss. Okay. All right, and then we go to Bowfire. Two bowmen that were not in the formation. And I'm going to check and see whether or not they have detected a Sturd or Klune before I decide on targets.
I wish I could
not on a Sturd, not on Klune. So neither one of them, they've not detected you, so they're concerned about the knights. So one will fire two shots on Chiron, one will fire two shots on Lucas. Two shots on Chiron, one hit. 14 points.
How?
Okay, and you need to make a ride check. And you might want to roll low. Remember, you did a lot of damage this round.
32. I'll give you.
Okay, so I'll give you that. All right.
There's no way. Yeah, I mean, I did take
it. He did 40 points of damage this round.
Well, I still made it by 60.
Right. But, so the guy did 14 to you. You did 40. That's 54. You only made it by 6. So.
Keyword
made it. That's probably those rounds where you charge in and do double damage, they also hurt your ride check really bad.
Yeah.
So, and these guys only have 10 hit points. So the common ones, not the champions, but
mine counted.
All right. Bowfire on Lucas. Both missed. Checking to see.
Technically, you only did 20. You did 20 when you hit again.
Okay, the guy, one of the bowmen in the back was shooting at you. Both shots missed. One of the shots hit the guy that was immediately to your left attacking you in the back of the head, and he goes down. Friendly fire.
Specialized bowmen.
Friendly fire.
Why couldn't that guy be the guy shooting at me?
Yeah, well, what do you got?
You know what this is? You know what this is? Karma.
For what?
The shield.
I don't see it.
For months, everybody who shot at me hit me. I was peppered constantly. I got rid of the shield. It's like my polarities have been reversed. Now they can't hit anything.
Take it while you can. Yeah. Try this one.
I'm arrow repulsive.
I think they're just shooting the healer.
Well, they were shooting at me.
Luckily, your healer is a
okay.
Paladin plate mail.
A Sturd and Klune. All right, so you've moved to where it'll be considered point blank range for you. Still short range for Klune. What you've got is two bowmen in the back that are unengaged that are shooting at Chiron and Lucas, plus two melee troops. The two melee troops are inside between Chiron and Lucas, and shooting them would be a challenge. The bowmen are clear shots.
Nice for a bowman.
Okay. Are you going to each take one?
You take left, I'd be great.
Okay. Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry. Or you could both shoot each, considering your damage potential is considerably higher than hers.
I get two shots, but she gets two shots too.
Yeah, same.
Oh, there we go.
So each, both, all right, there you go. That's a good call. All right, and so you can both roll the hits, just keep track, left, right, left guy, right guy.
Left guy. It's three.
Oh, what's your bet?
Roll for
16.
12 and 11.
Both hit. All right, so your damage is D6.
Yeah.
Two. Were they both hits or only one?
Just I only rolled one. Second one, 17.
So both hits.
Five.
All right.
I did left first.
The full plate was one.
She hit both.
Zero.
still. You're point blank, so you're...
I'm point blank?
Yep.
Oh.
So you're D6.
So I got 5 on the right and then a 3 on the left. And then okay. Five on the right.
So the lower of the two is 3, plus 2 is 5, times 2 is 10, plus 2 for the bow is 12. That's the lower, and then the other one is 14, because it's 2 higher, doubled. And then she hit both of them as well. So, all right, both of the bowmen go down.
What AC is full plate?
Full is 1, shield 0.
Okay, what? So is plate mail and armor? Is it plate mail, field plate,
full plate? Plate mail's 3.
Okay, so
2,
you have plate
1.
Mail. I have full plate. I'm trying to remember why I have my AC as negative 3.
Full plate and Dex. Shield. Full plate and shield is 0.
Oh, wait. Okay, full never plate mind. Shield. No, it makes total sense. Never mind. I forgot the full plate is plus 1. That was...
Okay, plus 1 full plate.
Sorry. So...
It's magical full plate.
Yours is 3, minus 2 is 1, minus 1 for the shield is 0, minus 2 is for Dex.
Oh, yeah. The shield out for a second.
Okay, so 3.
So the armor puts me at 1, and then my Dex puts me at negative 1.
Negative
1.
Right, 0. Yeah. Okay. And then you have a magical shield, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which magical shield
is a plus 1 shield? Is it a plus 1 shield?
Yeah.
So it'd be 2 more.
Yeah. So that's right.
You're 1 for the shield, 1 for the magic.
Yes.
And when you shield parry, you add your strength bonus to hit to your shield parry. So it'll be 1 for the shield, 1 for the magic, and then whatever for strength. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. You have 2 hobgoblins alive, no bowmen, end round. The 2 hobgoblins are immediately between the 2 of you. So they're in between. Like one of them is facing Lucas, one of them is facing Chiron, and they're kind of like back to back, basically. And the clump of cloth is definitely in danger of being stepped on in the fray, so by the horses especially. So you have to be super careful. So are you being super careful not to step on the clump of cloth with your horses?
Yes. What are the odds that I can just on my horse and it won't bolt?
Pretty good. Especially in the middle of a fight. It's a war horse, so it's like without you on it, it'll fight, but if it started to take the worst of it, it would run.
It's not a super well-trained war horse. Yeah, that was my concern.
But no, but it's violent. That's... It's the other way. It's not...
But it just wants to kill people. Okay, so Lucas intends to bolt from the saddle and protect the back.
Okay, so roll a right check to bolt from the saddle cleanly.
2.
Nicely done. Okay, you jump down, your feet straddle the cloth on either side, and you do see it move slightly as you jump down next to it, so you're pretty sure something alive is inside the cloth.
So he'll say, be still.
Okay. All right. So in your jumping down, the hobgoblin does slap against your armor with his weapon. And then we are rolling initiative.
Will I be able to flurry this now?
No. He vaulted down, so.
I didn't roll good enough.
That happens. Okay. All right. So now this is a full round. It is probable that Lucas and Chiron will deal with them. The only safe shot into there would be a cold shot. Then again, you've already shot Chiron twice, and it was erased by the stopwatch, so you can shoot him again.
I can read you.
Some things just shouldn't be undone. All right. Anyway, they have no missile fire, so that just leaves the two of you assuming if you're going to fire a missile fire. Are either Astrid or Klum firing a missile fire? She says no. You see that he has, Lucas has jumped from the saddle and is trying to protect something on the ground. And there's a guy basically wailing on his back right as he's trying to do that. And the horse is in the way. So to get a clear shot, it would be a called shot. If you miss with one of your regular shots, you could definitely hit the horse or hit one of them.
I can just run up and grab the thing to protect.
Yeah, you could run in there.
Yeah, I'll run there and grab the...
Okay, so you'll not be missile firing at all. Roll a d20 if you would.
19.
Okay, so something may develop interesting out of it. We'll see. Okay. Right now, we're in melee 9, 8, 7. Melee 7. Melee 6. Did you roll initiative? Hurry up. Plus dex. Do you have dex? Okay. All right, so we're melee 7. Melee 6. Melee 5.
You know, Aaron. I said I rolled low.
Yep, all right. So the hobgoblin that is attacking you on the back right, you will not get shield. He hits. 7 points. You do not have to make a ride check because you're on your feet. Not your horse. Okay. Okay. The horse bumps up against him and tries to step on his foot and also tries to snatch at him, but the horse's teeth actually ring off the hobgoblin's helmet.
Yikes. Lucas visibly cringes. He delays his attack by one signature, visibly cringing on the sound of his
foot. Okay. Sixes, fives. Okay, the hobgoblin that is facing Chiron attacks. Shield parry, and you successfully shield parry.
Do 6 points attack by 4 is a lot. It's 20%.
Yeah. Shield parry is huge. All right. At which point you have broken from cover, a starter has broken from cover, and you've entered the clearing, basically where the fight is taking place. The horse, as you're charging in, the horse that Lucas was on has rotated around and is attacking the hobgoblin. So what you see before you is Chiron's horse, and he's on it. One hobgoblin with his back toward you, or toward Lucas and the girl and the other horse. And then Lucas is kind of stooped down on the ground over top of the package, right? And behind Lucas is the other hobgoblin with his back kind of toward you now. And behind him, but on the other side, is the horse. And so as you charge in there, you realize you're probably at about 10 yards, and you realize you have a clean shot, at which point in time you realize you have an arrow on your bow. So it's a little risky. A 1 still could fly awry or whatever, but if it doesn't...
How'd that get there?
Okay.
My low bow.
All right. So you may roll 20 to hit. So you cleanly see a Sturd break from the tree line, run out in the clearing, and then he has his bow down to his hand, and he has an arrow on the bow, and as he realizes he's got a clear shot, he brings the bow up and fires as he's running. Okay.
2 or 1?
1. 4. That's not very good. It's not a bad miss, though, if it's a miss. So, okay, so you got 4, add dex and whatever, and see what you hit.
4, add dex, plus 4.
So that makes 5. Point blank, 6, 7. Bow, 8, 9. So you're at 9. What level ranger?
6.
So that's 15. So you had AC 6. So that's a hit.
Oh.
All right. So they are AC 6. So roll D6 plus all that crap. Nice. It's a good thing you got a lot of crap. Okay, so 1, 2, 3.
Minimum 12.
Yeah. All right. So the arrow embeds itself deeply in the chest of the hobgoblin, who seems just like stunned, like he can't believe it. And then he caves over. And then the horse stomps on his face and chest.
He's like, yeah, I got him.
So then I
stomp him. Well-timed horse snort at the end of the stomping. Okay. All right. That was moderately impressive, even from an elven perspective. Okay. And then we are in initiative 4. That was 4. Okay.
Swing on this guy.
Yep. He's the only one left.
1.
You missed.
My turn!
There will be another attack.
Your whirl horse, however, hit once.
Nope.
Not enough to kill him, I'm sure. Okay? And
look,
then...
Look, he throws his sword.
So yeah, did he already attack? He did, right?
Yes, he did.
So I'm using
him. Yep, go for it.
DC 1.
That'll hit.
6 points.
Okay. He's still there. However, feeling the brunt of it, he turns and tries to run away. Going to kill him or try?
Yes.
Okay. The horse will also.
AC 6.
That's a hit. Okay. So what happens is the horse, like, fidgets around because he's trying to get a bite on him, and it swings you back out of the way. And then the horse steps forward, and the horse, like, grabs the back of his cloak and pulls him back. And then your sword goes right along the side of the horse and embeds in it, like, between his shoulder and his neck. So basically the horse held him, and you killed him.
Good job,
horse. They're so messed up, dude. War horses are so messed up. They look like a perversion of regular horses.
And then he shakes him around a little bit, and when he does that, his head breaks over, so he's laying on his shoulder, and then the horse just drops on the ground.
Just love, yeah. And it's such a weird thing for a horse to do. You really don't expect that out of a horse. It's like watching a hummingbird. Like,
okay, which ends the conflict.
It's not supposed to happen.
Nature.
Okay.
But more like, even an aggressive horse is still a prey animal in nature. Like, we made these things evil. We made them evil.
That's true. Very true.
Or at least angry.
Why is there no sound? Sound.
Like, hopped them up on steroids and then retamed them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that one doesn't work.
But if you put them in a field, so we had to retain them every time.
It's like, but if you like just put them in a field, they're just like any other horse, they're just ripped. But then they smell blood and go feral. It's like, they're like sleeper.
Okay, meanwhile, elsewhere. Okay, Herrick, moving through the woods into the general direction of which you expect to see possibly Serena and or Reiki. Right?
Yep. Okay. Avoiding obvious centipede nests.
Yeah. Oh, let's roll for that. That's a good idea.
No, it's not.
Oh, centipede. Okay. Alone in the woods, it's a centipede thing. Okay. So you go do kind of direction sense or no?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you go due north and turn east, and you know somewhere in this area, right? And you're headed out kind of on a diagonal in that area, and then still north of you, you see a silhouette in the woods. It's about human-sized. You pause for a second, look in that direction, and realize that it is a human who is... like crouched down, utilizing the shadow, not moving from place to place. So they're not traversing the wood. They're more like hiding out. So that distance puts you east northeast of the fight site. We'll call it about 250 to 300 yards. Okay, and then. You're about 40 yards from there, southward, still about 230 yards from the light side.
Sure.
Okay. So are you proceeding?
I am. I'm going to be, I'm paying attention, but I'm using infravision to more or less track things.
Okay. Yeah. So as you get...
To startle them and make them run, that's the key.
Yeah. As you get just a little closer, you can actually see on infravision... clearly the heat signature, and it is definitely a human. In fact, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say you're pretty sure it's Serena from what you saw before. Okay. Moving in that direction, are you trying to stealthily approach it? She doesn't know you're coming, or?
I want to get within just conversational tone.
Okay.
And just say,
Like before she would notice you,
preferably.
Per se? Preferably. Okay, so then roll a 20. You don't have any specific skills for this, correct?
Yeah, cast without trace.
It's up to you whether you want to do that.
Well, I naturally pass without trace through underbrush.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're
saying. I rolled an 18, so I still managed to trip over something.
Well, but no one could track you.
The brush is a little
wider. Yeah, I would assume there's some kind of small effect of that. But it's more about not not disturbing your surroundings, not leaving tracks or marks, that kind of thing. Okay, so anyway, yeah, so it's clear that she does notice you coming. And she actually shifts around the tree that she's next to, and she's on your side of the tree, sitting down in the shadows. You can see her silhouette because there's not much light. You're still half an hour from the fight. You know that during the fight, the moon had come out from behind the clouds and it was actually pretty bright. But right now, it's still pretty dim. The cloud cover is more than covering the moon. As you are approaching, you're probably at 10, 15 yards. There's been no conflict or sign of conflict. I think maybe she's hoping that you're not seeing her.
Gotcha.
Considering she's staying very still.
Yeah.
Serena, it's me. I'm a friend of Astern's. Don't run. I need to speak with you.
Who?
Astern.
Astern who? Who are you talking about?
Rocket.
I don't know your name. I'm Astern.
You know the story?
You probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do know a little bit of the story. You could relate enough to make the connection.
I won't say that, but...
Okay. So you say you ran from your tribe.
Yeah.
He loved you once. Something like that.
Yeah.
Something kind of poetic. Okay.
So I was like, she's not... Sure. Well, sorry,
She gasps. Where is he?
Nearby, but he's attempting to rescue some of the hobgoblin sacrifices.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. She stands up enough that you can see her. She creates a kind of like a feminine silhouette edge of the tree, and you obviously can see her. Her heart burns warm, and she says, "My husband Creed is attempting to do the same thing. There is a wood spirit from the woods there to the south. She's been captured by the hobgoblins, and Creed went to try to free her."
That's mainly what my companions are attempting to do as well.
I'm worried for him. He's alone.
Where did he go? Or which way did he go?
The hobgoblins have a meeting place to the west in the wood. Just a quarter mile, maybe less. And... an old hag told us that the wood spirit had been captured by the hobgoblins and would be taken there. Creed went to try to stop them before they could kill her.
So where does that lay according to my understanding of where the battle is and where their sites are?
She's talking about the same place. She's talking about the sacrifice site.
Gotcha.
So... putting it together with what you already knew, it sounds like what drew Serena and Creed into the conflict was the hag.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, and she didn't tell you anything about that one, that she had talked to them or anything, but apparently they talked to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And which kind of makes sense when you think about it, because the crows led you to her as if she was looking for anyone to help, basically. So that kind of fits. Now you're beginning to wonder in the back of your mind whether or not Reiki's on his way there now. But anyway, so if he went, he either went to the sacrifice site, which would be unlikely because that would be the ground that you were just covering yourself, or he tried to circumvent and go around the other side or whatever, and similar to what the party was doing.
How long ago did he leave you? Or did he leave here?
20 minutes, half an hour. So he would have had to cross the ground that the party was on just before you got there this time.
So like, he was in theory ahead of them.
Correct.
Well, then it's possible that Astrid and the others may encounter him. I think they're going in the same general direction.
Where will you go now?
I was going to look for you and told there's one other who may be coming through this area. A paladin by the name of Reiki, who I'm also supposed to gather.
Okay.
Was it your intention to stay here and wait for your husband?
Yes. He is much more able to fight than I am. But if you are looking for this paladin and then meeting up with your friends, I would go with you if you would take me. Or it seems like we're all headed in the same place.
I think we're more likely to meet him here than if we attempt to move somewhere else.
Oh. Okay. I heard... sounded like... people on horses previously.
There are centaur about as well.
Maybe.
Searching for the wood spirit.
Could have been. Okay.
Going to wait 5 or 10 minutes and see what happens.
Alright. So you take up your position with her and wait. You are outside the dead part of the woods, so this is a living forest. And when you're, without the moving around and like that, the animals kind of settle back into their normal routines. And you begin to see small critters, hear occasional birds. Under other circumstances, it would be rather pleasant. You're pretty much seeing her totally on infravision. But you saw her before when the group was together, not on infravision, and you know that she is beautiful in her own right. Okay? You wait in the woods.
Listening to separate sounds of a horse who hopefully doesn't teleport past us.
Okay? Alright, meanwhile, elsewhere. Dun, dun, dun. You have rescued the package. As it were, after a moment of making sure that there are no other hobgoblins around and Klum, I assume, moving closer, you pull open the bundle, essentially, and you see the previously saved, now saved again, female. Something odd does strike you, though. And it is that this package has the distinct shape of a large kind of silvery silk gown. It is big enough to be human-sized or slightly larger, perhaps. So fit for a woman who would maybe be 7-ish foot tall, or that it would considerably flow on the ground, if not. It is barely pleated, and it is a little sullied now from its recent travels, and especially because some blood spattered on it when the hobgoblins died and so on like that. But it's in pretty bad condition. The girl is wearing the slip that she was found in when you saved her from underneath the paladin, which you'll recall, or possibly not recall now, because it's been 2 weeks, that it was basically just barely below the enough to cover the private area, but she doesn't have undergarments. She looks the part of an older teen, but she is very small for her age, like between 3 and 4 feet tall, stretched out and very thin, gaunt, malnourished. Maybe a little, but it's not much. If it is. She does seem to be a little more alert than when you saw her last. And so, yeah, but she looks fearful. Like when you throw open what you find out is the gown, when you throw it open, and it does have a cut down one side. They were just basically using it to carry her in, which you can imagine they were like, they could have been superstitious to touch her or whatever. But anyway, when you throw it open and see her, she kind of like pushes back away from you, which like everyone's kind of standing around. So when she pushes back away from one person, she pushes toward another, and then she spins around a little bit. And then so ultimately she's like cringing in the middle of the shiny silver gown laying on the ground.
It is all right. It's a small spirit.
Okay.
So we're safe now.
She is clearly wounded, and it would be feasible for you to try to tend her wounds magically, or tend her wounds with your high-level proficiency.
Cure wounds.
She doesn't answer. She looks scared, eyes wide. You can see her heartbeat in her throat.
She spoke common last time we interacted with her, right?
Yeah, but she's not responding. So only a little, but she's not responding at all right now. She has not said any words. She gasped. She groaned, but she has not spoken.
Lucas will remove his helmet and sort of kneel a couple feet from her and say, "We were sent by a friend of yours, I believe. An old hag lives in a tree."
It's kind of rude, but yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Okay.
That's no hag. That's my mother.
Your mother's a hag.
Okay.
Whatever told you.
Groan then.
Groan.
Okay. She looks in the general direction of the dark wood, which also is, of course, in the direct direction of the encampment, of the Hobgoblin encampment. When she looks in that direction, the wind shifts. Possibly at the same time, coincidentally, but also something. And so now the wind is blowing out of the west. So across you and toward the encampment. And it's a little stronger. Like it ruffles the cloth of the gown and
also
pushes at her hair.
Helmet, set my shield down. And see if
eventually her eyes settle on Klum. And she seems to be kind of like entranced, and she's not stopped staring at Klum since.
As long as she doesn't stop me,
Klum will approach her, and I'll just ask her what her name is.
It's clear in her face that she's going to say something, like she's willing up the strength or moving her muscles, and her lips open slightly. She's like, but she doesn't say anything. No sound comes out. Okay. So go ahead and roll your
19.
Okay. So she is she appears to be no longer physically harmed. But she still looks emaciated, okay? And when the green glow went off and she was feeling the effects of healing, she did take her eyes off Klum for a minute, and she looked at you like wide-eyed, like, what is going on right now? And then she sort of, like, calms down, and her head sort of drifts to the right, and then she seems to be almost in a daze. But she is healed.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.